Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So fourth and goal for USC. Trips right, Rice single man to the left. Williams in the gun, Jones remains to his left side. Play clock is at 11. Williams motions out to his right. Washington in short motion from that side. Here's the snap. Williams back, throws left. This one is caught for the touchdown. Brendan Rice. They went right back to the back shoulder throw. This time, Rice snatches it in and scores.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Ryan Radke with the call this past college football season on Westwood One. I think the only thing that we can feel really confident in happening in the NFL draft is that Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick. I was like running through jokes in my head. I was like, none of these are appropriate right now. I need to workshop these a little bit before I say them on the air. Because like they were going to be really funny, but I don't know if they would have been good to say out loud. So the one thing we can feel really good about, Caleb Williams will be the first overall pick to the Chicago Bears. But then what happens? Eric Eager from Sumer Sports will join us in just a moment to talk about all things NFL draft. We'll ask him about Zach Wilson as well. But Ken and I will give you our thoughts on the upcoming NFL draft. And again, things are going to get nuts. How nuts are they going to get? In our best George Costanza voice, we will get back to the NBA next hour on the show, running through all the series in the postseason. Ken has got some big picture stuff as well. How to bet the NBA playoffs. That's coming up next hour. Drew Dinsick coming up next hour. Final hour, Power Hour features all our bets for tonight. But right now, the aforementioned Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. You like the NFL? Honestly, you just like football, because he tweets a lot about spring football. God bless his soul. You need to be following Eric on Twitter, at Eric Eager _, the Sumer Sports Football Show with Eric and former Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff. And also, they've got the an NFL draft show on my old stomping grounds, where I started my career out of college and worked for a decade, Sirius XM NFL Radio, which is really awesome. Our guy Eric is killing it. And again, on Twitter, at Eric Eager _. My friend, welcome back to the show. It's your people, Nick and Ken. How's it going?
You guys are my people. Nick, Ken, it's been a fun ride here, but we're almost, this is the best week of the football season, right, guys? Right? This is the best week.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on how the bets go. Is it the best week or is it the worst week? Some years I'd say it's the best. Some years not so much. Recently it's been the best. Recently it's been really good. I am curious though, Eric, and you know, I know you and Nick have talked a lot kind of off the air, and I've been following you on Twitter and stuff. I think you would agree, and Nick has said this a bunch of times too, there is an odd consensus about how people feel like the top of the draft is going to play out right now, even if you deviate a little bit with the second overall pick, or like when the Vikings go get J.J. McCarthy. Like, everyone's kind of thinking the same way. I guess my first question is like, how smart, how informed, how like on the nose do you think this top 10 consensus is right now?
I think it's wild. I think that there are teams that have Oli Fashanu rated higher than Joe Alt. I think that there are teams that have Malik Nabers rated higher than Jamar Chase, just the same way that there were teams that had Jalen Waddle, or sorry, not Jamar Chase. Ahead of Marvin Harrison trying to make a point. Jalen Waddle, teams had Jalen Waddle ahead of Jamar Chase that draft. We were just lucky that the Bengals picked fifth and not the Dolphins, right? So there's a lot less consensus than we want to believe. Even if you go to like the eighth pick with Atlanta, Dallas Turner seems to make sense, right? Because when Raheem Morris ran the defense for the Rams, they had Michael Hoyt dropping into coverage. They had all their edge players drop into coverage. Dallas Turner dropped into coverage 91 times last year, where the other guys, Laitu and Verse, just 21 times each. So that would seem to be, make sense, but these teams don't always do what makes sense to us on the outside. So it's a weird draft, and this is the reason why. Like, there are 10 projected offensive linemen to go in round one, about 6 wide receivers to go in round one, another, you know, 4 to 6 quarterbacks. There's only like 4 or 5 positions that are going to be represented. And so the process of picking the first round is not as easy, because you can't just match player to position to team. You have to match player to team, which is a lot harder of an exercise.
I asked Adam Chernoff this question, and Ken and I will talk about it in a little bit. So for our listeners and viewers, like, please forgive like the repetitive nature of this, but I feel like it's a really important thing that we should try and figure out ahead of Thursday's NFL draft, right? If everybody is saying, because everyone was first saying it's going to be Jaden Daniels going second to Washington, including some really informed guests on our show, but if everyone, all the insiders, are going to keep trumpeting that no one knows what Washington is going to do. Like, we think they're going to take a quarterback, right? I think that's, like, the one thing that we do know. Washington will take a quarterback at number 2, or maybe not. But I think, like, we all feel reasonably confident that that will be the case, that the Commanders take a quarterback. If we have no idea what they're going to do, no idea which quarterback they prefer, Daniels, May, even potentially J.J. McCarthy, could you see this getting really nuts at number 2 overall when the Washington Commanders, Eric, come onto the clock? And by nuts, I literally mean, like, could they take J.J. McCarthy? Like, how nuts do you think this could get?
Yes, there is a significant Michigan contingent in the NFL. And if you know anything about Michigan people, they stick together. And I'm not saying that, yeah, there is a chance. And I think 12-1 is probably, if you look at the board there, there's no way, to your point, there's no way I'm laying the 275 on Daniels. May at plus 240 makes some sense. But McCarthy at 12-1 makes some sense. And then once that happens, then there's question marks, right? Because I think May is kind of what the Patriots, if they stick in that third spot, want, because it's a big physical guy kind of playing in the cold weather. All that stuff makes sense. But then the Vikings probably want him too. So are they going to go up and make the Godfather offer? And then now all of a sudden you're at pick 4, and now there are questions about, there are Aaron Rodgers questions about Jaden Daniels. Why is he falling? And then that starts to turn into he's now at 8. Now he's at 10. Now he gets to the Broncos at 12. Well, they need a quarterback, but can they support him? Then he gets to Vegas. Like, there are going to be significant issues if McCarthy goes at 2. Again, the draft is a very interesting exercise where what the teams do, their revealed preferences, elicit cascading things and it's why we've seen a quarterback fall basically every single draft for the past like 5 years.
Eric, we had some reporting earlier today. I think it was Diana Rossini reported that, like, the Patriots are fielding offers now for the 3rd overall pick, and, like, Jonathan Kraft, who's now, like, you know, in the front office, obviously still, like, he's, like, spearheading this, and Gerard Mayo, and everybody's, like, Elliot Wolf, who's their general manager. Like, this is something that, like, I think people that were not in the Patriots building were talking about, like, oh, are they going to trade? And everybody's kind of like, nah, I think they're, like, maybe take a quarterback, but maybe. And then we actually had some confirmed reporting earlier that, like, they're fielding calls. This can obviously mean a lot of different things. Like, they just want people to think they're fielding calls. And then, you know, we never know what the implications are. How confident are you that the Patriots would stay at 3 in any of the permutations that you just laid out?
I think at the end of the day, the Patriots are going to trade the 3rd pick. I think that, so all you need is one really good offer. And if you're Minnesota and you've started your GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, head coach Kevin O'Connell, you started the same time as Ryan Poles. You started a year after Detroit. Detroit rebuilt, Chicago rebuilt. You decided to have a competitive rebuild. And during those 2 years of your competitive rebuild, Detroit and Green Bay won 3 more playoff games combined than you did. So that was a failure, the competitive part. Now you're stuck, and Sam Darnold is your quarterback, and the Packers are better than you, the Lions are better than you, and the Bears, the moment they draft Caleb Williams, are better than you. You need a quarterback. And I'm sorry, but if you come out of this thing with the 4th best quarterback in the draft, you're going to try to convince your fan base that, oh, for the last 2 years, we kind of played halfway-sies with rebuilding, and now we have J.J. McCarthy. Get out of here. I think that it's going to be 11, 23 and next year's one, probably a little bit more. And again, as I tweeted out today, those throw the draft charts out the window. It's like going to a restaurant for the top three picks and it's like ordering the seafood and it says market. That third pick is market, whatever the Patriots can get for it. And I think that the Patriots are going to hold the Vikings' feet to the fire. They're going to have the Broncos' feet to the fire. They're going to have the Raiders' feet to the fire. They're going to have Knicks Giants' feet to the fire. And they're going to, and I think that at the very least, the Vikings are going to outbid, they're going to try to outbid everybody. And the minimum offer that the Vikings give, whether or not a team comes over the top of it, is going to be enough to satisfy the Patriots to trade that pick.
That was like on my honeymoon when like my wife would order the, like in Greece, like the market seafood. And as a result, I had a lot less money than I did before I went on my honeymoon, but it was a good time.
How much is the lobster? Good. Don't ask.
And I said to my wife, and she said, what about the lobster? I said, have you considered the chicken? You better you bet with Nick and Ken. Eric Eager is our guest from Sumer Sports. I thought that was a great answer, Eric, on the Patriots, what they might do with the third overall pick. Maybe going to trade out. Maybe it's the Minnesota Vikings. So when we talk about the top four quarterbacks, and I guess like Caleb Williams is excluded, he's going to go one, but just this, we'll call it the top four. Do you think one of those four quarterbacks will fall in the draft? And maybe that's like 12, 13, maybe a little later. So will one of the consensus top four fall? And if so, who is it most likely to be and why?
So we're talking out of both sides of our mouth here, because McCarthy at one side is 12-1 to be second pick, which is, I think, a decent wager. And then I also think he could fall completely out of the top 10.
So not Daniels. I thought you were going to say Daniels. I thought Daniels was going to be your answer.
I think McCarthy's the most likely one to fall. I think Daniels is the interestingly, Daniels is the most likely player to go second, but he's also the second most likely player to fall. I think May doesn't make it past three. I think there's too much of the size and the sort of athleticism and kind of like the prototype quarterback the teams are looking for. I think May is a top three pick. I think that Daniels, there are some question marks about him where it much like Mac Jones in 2021, where if Mac Jones, you know, Circa had him at open over under at 3.5, right? You know, all the other books had him at 3.5, but then he fell to 15. Like Mac Jones had a couple outs where he could go in the top 10. And if those didn't materialize, he was going at 15. Dwayne Haskins was a very similar one. He went at 15 to Washington. And I think that Daniels is more like that than a guy like May, a guy like Williams. I think May and Williams fit any scheme. I think Daniels and McCarthy are a little bit more, you kind of have to imagine a little bit them working out at the NFL level, in which case, if the one particular team player fit doesn't happen in the top five picks, it could slide for a while.
You think Michael Penix Jr. is going to get drafted in the first round?
No, I don't think Knicks and Penix go in round one. I think that the history of the league, here's the reason why, guys. So the fifth-year option is the reason why we got Bridgewater at 32 and Lamar Jackson at 32. But that was the last CBA. That was prior to 2020. Jordan Love at 26, I believe. Teams trading back in the first round. Teams have not traded back into the first round since they redid the CBA in 2020 because the fifth-year option is way more expensive now. You know, Jordan Love started one game and his fifth year option was like over $20 million. However, it's position specific. So for example, the fifth year option for a tackle who hasn't done that well, for example, Jedrick Wills last year was $11 million. Now tackle matures more slowly. There are going to be teams that see value in trading back into the first round for a tackle, not for quarterback, because that fifth year option is going to have more surplus value should you hit on the tackle. And so I see it also falling off a little bit more. Whereas if you don't get Bo Nix or Michael Penix, you can kind of go with Spencer Rattler. You can kind of squint to Austin Reed and a little bit more of those kind of backup quarterbacks. Tackle, that's a position if you don't get it in round one, good luck. So I think you're going to see more teams trade into the 20s to take the offensive lineman they like because of the math of the salary in that fifth year option, which is what they were doing at quarterback prior to 2020. I think you see that for O linemen. Wide receiver, the under on wide receivers and the under on quarterbacks is the beneficiary of that.
I think that is like awesome analysis from Eric on like the NFL salary cap and fifth year options. I'm not great with that stuff, so that was really good from Eric. Eric, final question here in about 30 seconds. Earlier today, the Denver Broncos traded for Zach Wilson. Out of Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, unnamed rookie, who is the most likely to start the most games for the Denver Broncos this season? 30 to 45 seconds for the answer to close.
I think Zach Wilson will start. Remember, Drew Brees was once benched in San Diego for Doug Flutie and was only left San Diego for Sean Payton's New Orleans Saints because the San Diego Chargers drafted Phillip Rivers to replace him. He was a wounded animal that went to New Orleans. I think that there's a heart for that for Sean Payton. So I do think Zach Wilson's going to get an opportunity there, whether he deserves it or not.
So but Zach Wilson starting week one for the Broncos, yes or no, right now. Pencil, not pen, 10 seconds.
Minus 150, yes.
Oh, man, if you're a Broncos fan, you want to jump off a bridge. Eric, we love having you on. Broncos country, let's ride, like right into a wall. On Twitter, at Eric Eager, underscore Schumer Sports. My friend, we appreciate it. Enjoy draft week. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, fellas. Have a good week.
Eric Eager joining us here on the show. Zach Wilson, minus 150 to start for the Denver Broncos in week one, per our guy Eric Eager. Pencil, not pen.
I just didn't want to believe it. Yeah, the guy just didn't want to believe it, but he's probably right.
I tried to tell you. I'm telling you. So Sean Payton looks and sees, like, I can fix this guy. We'll see how it goes. On the other side, Ken and I talk some NFL draft. If things are going to go haywire, how's it going to happen?
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.